Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Monday and Edwin. Hello, Edwin. How are you doing?
Martin. It's episode 44. You know what that means?
Why? What's special about 44?
Double death, Martin.
Oh, double okay. Death. Okay. Yeah. Well, you've already gone from slow to stop, I see, as well.
That's it. You got to slow down, otherwise you go off the cliff. And make sure you have plenty of brakes to stop. Brace yourself. Double death, Martin, but I think it's death of the cryptocurrencies. What do you reckon? You know, all the cryptanians are out there crying, I'm imagining, and death of the medical practices.
Well, let's just talk about the crypto for a second. I'm doing a show tomorrow, actually, with Adam Stokes. We'll go into more detail, but it is very interesting. Of course, there's a lot of confusion about precisely what's going wrong, and you know, people are saying, "Well, you know, Bitcoin is different because Bitcoin is immutable, particularly if you hold Bitcoin away from the exchanges." But for a lot of people, of course, who got sucked in more recently and perhaps were holding other cryptocurrencies on these exchanges, it's a big deal because, you know, a lot of money is going to be lost. And unfortunately, you and I were talking about this some time ago, Edwin, so it's not totally surprising. But, you know, as with all these things, who knows where it's going to end?
Carrots.
We've said it before, we'll say it again. The secret weapon of the world, carrots.
Plenty of carrots, cucumbers, not tomatoes. They suck up a lot of water and take up all the nutrients from the soil. You get bugger all for those things. But yep. Look, with all the floods, I think food is going to be the resource of the future.
Grow your own spuds, I think, is the answer, and lettuces and other bits and pieces, right? Certainly, I've noticed that down the shops, the price of spuds has gone up and the quality of spuds has gone down.
Look, and it's only going to get worse. But, I mean, this is with the current floods, the question is how much, we were looking at beyond or up to the end of the year for prices of vegetables and produce that would have been growing through spring that absolutely got devastated in the earlier floods. And now with these new floods, I mean, it's how much more are we going to be able to bear the pain of the cost of living, which then, of course, going back to the rent, well, it's all about property, it's all about sustainability, it's all about being able to have the funds to rent where you want to live and to buy where you want to live, where you want to bring your family up, or where you want to continue to stay, whether or not you have a family. You know, all these questions are plaguing people's minds, and the governments aren't helping. And now we've also got the death of the medical practices. Look, I just think, in my opinion, given power to the pharmacists to give out prescriptions and the like. Look, if you're going to be giving out prescriptions, I say, look, get them to also give out mortgages. What do you reckon?
Well, yeah, they could become their own little banks as well and provide full range of financial services because, frankly, the banks are closing so many branches. So maybe that's what we should do. We should have financial services through the pharmacy as well.
Yeah, look, I'm sure the pharmacy guild will be very happy with your with your commentary there, Martin. but the doctors' association or federation, whatever they are, I'm sure they're up in arms. But also two questions. I mean, all that's telling us is obviously things are just upside down, back to front, inside out. You can't really make economic future judgments as you could in the past because everything is just in a big blender, and you just don't know where it's going to stop and where you're going to end up. China's chaos continues to grow. The Iron Curtain seems to be being raised again. We said Mao 2.0 in previous shows, and it's really with what's been happening in China, which we'll talk a bit more in the week chatter segment, it's looking more and more that way. Property buyers' confidence Some banks are saying it's year on year has been relatively low, and the intentions to buy have been relatively low. But after the announcement last week, it was anything but. From what we saw at the auctions on the weekends. So you got the death of the cryptocurrencies or some cryptocurrencies. It's a watch and see, and it only gets more and more. This roller coaster ride only gets more and more exciting by the week.
Yeah, well, it's pretty unpredictable, and it's interesting because, of course, one of the things that happened, not totally predictable but not totally surprising, was that there was very strong focus on deleting certain WeChat groups.
It's interesting, like with what's happening, like with the WeChat chatterers over in China, what they're saying and what we were discussing before and earlier on in the year when you know we're talking about what the WeChat chatters from China were telling us it should get into power and what his intentions were going to be, and that was the Commonwealth, and that was really for those that have to share with those that with the have-nots, and really it's turning out that way, and now that is the Emperor El Supremo forever. This is it, and the latest. First we had the shutting down of the tutoring businesses, which was really an indicator of how it was decoupling from the West. Then we had the policies around the trading houses, what he was implementing in order to keep more of the money in house rather than allowing it to go out of the country. Then we had the abolition of the of financial planning advisors and businesses, and now the latest is shutting down international migration agencies because basically he doesn't want the people to leave. And this is kind of what's something that the mainstream media haven't picked up as yet, and they will very soon because it's a big deal over there. So basically, what they're saying, the WeChat chatterers are saying, is they're calling it if you get invited to Yumcha, which is really euphemism for what they really want to have a chat with you about. It's basically the heads of these groups over there are saying delete everything on your WeChat chatter groups and any conversation, and don't bring anything up because the government really are going to be inviting you for sit down for Yumcha, and you could be the menu.
It is pretty amazing. It's certainly continuing to signal some very important changes, and getting it harder and harder to do things that previously people were able to do relatively easily. So, once again, it shows you how much social media is being controlled, doesn't it?
Well, it is. And we spoke about the JV that the governor are forcing Tencent and WeChat to join, do a JV with China Telecom. So it's all about control. I guess, again, how does that affect us? Okay, for now, we're not going to see anything coming out of China, and it's basically a wait and see with for tertiary education. That's a big blow. But let's not forget that there are other countries around Asia that also are looking to come into Australia, and so we've got to look at all the facts that are before us, and then you start thinking as to what we've discussed as to why was Dom, our premier, over in South Korea, Malaysia, and India, and now we're seeing also that the ramifications of that with reports of increasing of the student migration numbers have been increased, but they're not from China; they're from other parts of Southeast Asia and Asia, but not from China. And also the policy changes around the people that don't want to come in the skilled migrants that they want to bring in, and they basically are from these other countries. Your India, Pakistan, and Malaysia, and Singapore, and South Korea. So, look, the intentions of people coming over to settle here to buy a property, I believe, are still there. Not as strong as what it previously was. There may be a lull. But it just seems the federal and the state government are just pushing so damn hard to cushion that blow from the property falls, and the latest of which we will also talk about, continue to talk about part two with the stamp duty stamp duty v land tax and what it means for for people that are trying to get into the market. We'll discuss that a little bit further later on as well. So all this is part and parcel of the bigger picture, which is really protect the investments that the politicians have, Martin, in the investment properties, so they protect the values.
Yeah, funny that, isn't it? And it's interesting, of course, because here's the quote of the week, right? Hey, can we get some bricks? Right? Not purple bricks, but, we've got to get some real estate purchasers coming in. So
that was there was another article floating around that I think 12 other nations want to join BRICS, and then there was this article came out that in Sky News that Albanese was perhaps looking to meet with Xi in the latest conference, and so I just put that together. I don't know. Look, is it hearsay? I believe it's true from the information that I've been given and from people that I know from the WeChat chatter groups. But my understanding is that Xi's brother and sister actually live in Australia. One lives in Melbourne and one lives in Sydney.
Very interesting.
Under the mother's maiden name.
You who'd have thunk it, eh? Well, there you go. And interesting, because the local WeChat chatters are also they've been quite heated, haven't they, really, recently?
Well, they have. And look, it's evident what you see out on the open house expectations. They're out there. And what happened as to the two auctions that we were participating at with clients, what we saw is it was funny because it was not funny, but like it was comical in the way it was. I put it. It was really the Chinese syndicates versus the went toe to toe with the bank of mum and dad, and it was rather interesting to see how that played out and all the emotion that came with it, and how the prices were pushed again or centered somewhat around the. These government policy changes around stamp duty and land tax, which I believe stoked the market a bit somewhat, and will continue to do over the next couple of weeks. But look, at the end of the day, the WeChat chatterers, as you and I have been talking about for a while now, they've got the local WeChat chatterers. They've been saying, look, the basically crypto, evident from what's happened over the weekend, is an unsecure investment. Shares. Are unstable because of the geopolitical landscape that we're in, the rumors of wars and all the crap that's going on in America. In terms of local businesses, no go Jose, no way Jose, it's not going to happen because they don't want to get caught out again with any future pandemics or plandemics and shutdowns and they lose a hell of a lot of money. So for them, albeit the return may appear to be on face value, may appear to be small, but they feel it's a lot more secure and they are securing land. And as I said, this was going to be one of the what we've been talking about. This was going to be one of the obstacles that first-time buyers were going to face is coming toe-to-toe with the local Chinese syndicates.
Yeah, and just talking about local syndicates, Dusty failed.
Dusty failed, Martin. Look, we went toe to toe with some WeChat chatters trying to get some painters to help one of our associates in the city finish a painting job, and look. We offered everything. Dusty offered $500 per person. Needed two people over 2 days over the weekend. $500 cash per person plus a dozen free range eggs and overnight stay with Jose. But they just didn't cut the mustard. It didn't cut the mustard. The top bidder for those two painters that were available on WeChat were $525 cash per day, plus noodles and a massage at the end. Now, whether that massage included a happy ending, I don't know. I didn't ask.
Yeah, went beyond the call of duty there, but no, it is interesting. And, big numbers.
Yeah, look, it is. When you think about it, $525 cash or $500 cash in hand, that represents putting that through the books. That's closer to $700.
Yep.
Because you put cash out from a company account, you got to attribute that as wages going somewhere. So you pay tax on that, which is, let's say, call it 33%. So that's on top of. But this is what we've been talking about, that cash economy with the, you know, with some of the groups that are working, and particularly with the WeChat chatter, the cash economy. So when you start adding it all up, if they're earning $450 to $500 per day, call it 6 days a week, do the math, how much they're getting per year, and these are the majority of the little brothers and the little sisters that are working here. And then on top of that, you've got also payments that are made or transacted in between the WeChat chatterers, not necessarily payable here, but payable on the WeChat wallet, and the families overseas receive the money for goods and services bought or services rendered here. You know, look, at the end of the day, we tried all, you know, Dusty tried all she could. She even offered two chickens, Mark. A chicken. Sorry, they wanted two chickens, and Dusty said, no way.
Absolutely. There are some limits, aren't there? Goodness me, whatever next. Well, look, talking about limits, let's go on and talk about auctions, right? Here's a couple of auction stories for the fearful.
Yeah, look, the first one is part one. We spoke about the block, which what the real story should have been last week, right, with regards to the perception of what the general public really have on with regards to auctions, and that was all centered around Tarek's commentary that he made on Twitter, and there was a lot of interaction with that, which was rather good. And I said, this is really the story. So now we've got this part two, and this is where egos, in my opinion, becomes a very, very costly bedfellow. And this is from the real estate, realestate.com put out, Adrian Patel gives away Gold Coast mansion after the block bidding war. When you read through that article, it sort of tries to dispel all that controversy around what happened in the block. I didn't watch the block, so I can only go from what was in the article, as to they were saying that this was a plant, and hence the reason why the boys got the most amount of money, because it was rigged. Whether it was, whether it wasn't, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. Don't have any information on that. But for me, the interesting thing was the commentary at the end of the story. And when you get to the end of the story, the comment there was really interesting. And his comment was, people thought I was a dummy bidder and mate of Omar and Oz, but I was simply wanting to buy the four-bedroom house to give away through my business, LMCT, right? And then he writes, it's not my fault, Danny, which was obviously the other fella, let his ego get in the way and drove the price up to the point where it didn't make sense to me, so I backed down. So what he was saying, technically, the house could have been sold a lot earlier for a hell of a lot less if this Danny fellow that ended up with the house didn't get his ego, put his ego in the way and pay well and truly over the odds for which is what everybody said. So theoretically, I think his bid was 4.5, and that's where he should have more or less landed, around that. But he went for some ridiculous amount of money. But I see this over and over again, Matt, in the in auctions. I see this the ego getting in the way of common sense. And this is something that perhaps you and I could chat a little bit about, and just bring some light to the psychological reasons why auctions favour the vendors.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I did a show on my channel a couple of years ago, I think, talking about the psychology of auctions, right?
That's right.
I remember we spoke about it because, you know, there's a lot more going on than just the pure economics, right? Particularly auction, right? There is the herd mentality. There's the got to have this at any price sort of philosophy that comes in quite often. And, of course, the auctioneer is quite masterful often at trying to actually hype it up, and, you know, encouraging people to go just a little more and then, you know, again and again and again. So there's a lot of psychological dimensions to this that I think many people, particularly who are not that familiar with the auction process, don't understand. And, you know, why would you? Because it's not necessarily your day job, right? And unlike you, who go to a lot of auctions. So therefore, you're really always playing the auction game with one arm tied behind your back because you don't have enough experience of doing it.
Well, that's and I think it would be fair to say the majority of the people that attend the auctions and participate in the auctions, they don't necessarily go in there with one arm tied behind their back. They go in there with both arms tied behind their back, and they really get smacked around. The fundamentals are basically they're already pre-programmed as to how to participate, because a lot of the people believe that the selling agents are actually working in their favour, whether it's to buy a property through private treaty or through auction. They take on the advice that the agents give them, and the advice that the agents give them before the auctions, in this case, you know, talking about auctions, is, you know, they say, you know, look, bid high, bid strong, and that's reiterated with the auction with the auctioneer on the day. So then you throw into the mix Don Perrottet's gift to the vendors, as I put up there on the video that you can share. You throw the gift, that gift, to the mix, and it's a new dimension. So I took the first video of one of the first auctions there at Winston Hills, and it was in this particular auction. It was the Chinese syndicate going against the Bank of Mum. Because Dad, I didn't see a Dad there, so I call it the Bank of Mum, and they were going toe to toe to the end, and they pushed the price, I believe, $75,000 above where it should have really landed, but that's the nature of it. Now, with the first one, Martin, we didn't get much insight into the buyers that we would do, because we were sort of, we didn't know whether we were going to participate. We didn't know whether, it was a 50-50 call for our clients and for us to participate on this one. So we sort of, at the last minute, we sat back. Then we went to number two. Number two gets really, really interesting because number two, in my opinion, should have the break should have been on. Perhaps $150,000 below what it sold for. But this is where it gets interesting. This is where a lot of people don't understand how important it is to really to prepare yourself. And part of being prepared is understanding who your potential competition on the day is. And there are many ways that you can do this. One is getting information from the real estate agent if you know them well and they divulge the information. So, you know, it's for us, it's a jigsaw puzzle. Trying to put this jigsaw puzzle together before the day of the auction, or you could say trying to put up our arsenal together before the day of auction to see whether or not who we're going to go toe to toe with, or whether we're even going to participate based on the information that we get, or what we do on the day. So all these things, there's a lot of things, but I'll just share a few tonight, right? So in this particular one, Martin, in the second video that you'll share with our audience, was interesting because one of our associates went around and she speaks Mandarin and Cantonese, and she overheard the winning bidder in the conversation, what they brought to the table, what they were bringing to the table. And then when we gathered all our intel, when we gathered who was about from the agent, who registered, as we get there early to make sure, to see who's registering, what they're talking about, paying close attention to the competition. We noticed that pretty much early on in the, before the auction started, we weren't in the game. We weren't in the game. And there was no point in chasing, the emotion that was flying around there. The conversation that took, got my attention and really pricked my ears was the conversation that our associate overheard the Chinese syndicate, let's call it a Chinese syndicate, talk about. And that was, look, we've got extra money because of this land, the choice that we can now make of paying the land tax or stamp duty up front. So basically that allowed them to up the ante, and they were prepared to go all the way to the point where we overheard what their position was in buying the property and even spending money on top to get it renovated, and that was pretty much on the money as to what they paid for it, and first time buyers supported by their parents try to chase it down. Yep. Maybe they had the same intentions. Maybe they had the same thoughts. We'll spend a little bit more, but you could see a lot of the emotion playing out, and you could see that how people were stretching the limits, turning to mom, turning to dad, or dad or mom encouraging, saying, "Yeah, go a bit more. I'll give you some more. Don't worry. Just up the ante." And 5,000 here, 2,000 there. Before you knew it, the 5,000, 2,000 added up to, to 80, 85, 90,000 more as to where it should have stopped. So you could feel and you sense the emotion. And our clients were taken aback by this and were somewhat startled by this because it was the first auction they attended to. And I said, look, it's okay. It's part of the game, part of the learning curve, they could feel the emotion themselves, and they're asking themselves, should we increase our price? And no, you've given your clear and definite instructions in writing, and I'm not going to breach that. It was rather interesting, and that's the whole thing of emotion, throwing what the government's going to give you, call back to mum and dad. You can get caught up in this avalanche. And then you realise, shit, I've overpaid.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting. I've had a few conversations with people in the market at the moment, particularly in New South Wales, who did precisely the same calculation, right? Given that we can now spread out the stamp duty, how much extra does that give me in terms of being able to buy, right? And to a conversation, it was the same conversation. So I can tell you, and you've seen it there as well, that the New South Wales announcement will kick house prices up to the up to the threshold limit by the amount that is now available. It's not going to help anybody. No. It's just going to move the dial. That's all.
And that's all it's done. And that is all it's done. Whether it lasts, whether this frenzy lasts, the next few weeks that we have left before the market really pulls back. And my question is, will it pull back at the end of the year in terms of activity? So far, the signs are telling me no. Melbourne, which we'll talk about Melbourne numbers, are absolutely going gangbusters. There's more listings on market, but there is a lot less activity. We've seen it across from my colleagues and from other agents and agencies that we deal with, they are getting swamped with inquiry. Mm. And it is all due to this. Now, when you go to the calculator, that calculates what you would be paying in terms of land tax and as to what you would be paying in terms of stamp duty, when you do the calculations, you look at it and you say, well, what's $400 a month in land tax, as opposed to paying $30,000-$40,000 upfront in stamp duty. Well, why don't I just put the $30,000-$40,000 extra, so as I can outbid somebody else, or I'll use as much as I need to outbid somebody else there, drive the price up higher, And then whatever I've got left over, I'll just put it in, put it on the side and use that on a monthly basis to pay the mortgage, even if rates go up, higher. And these are the conversations that people are having, Matt. And it's crazy. It is crazy. But as I say to some of the people that are looking to get into the market of between your 750 to your million, it's really up the bar and truly up the ante, and it's really the choices that they're left with not many choices. And I'm hoping that the numbers on market don't pull back, because if they do, we're going to see prices in that bracket that the government so-called wanted to help. It is just going to potentially shoot back up to where we were in 2021.
Well, I remember the Productivity Commission said all of these incentive programs, whoever uses them, don't help. They actually just move the dial up and make it more expensive for more people to climb in. And, of course, quite often what people are doing is they are extending the amount that they can offer, but then they're actually getting a bigger mortgage off the back
That's
of it
correct.
To try and actually cover it, which means that their monthly repayments on their mortgage are also higher. But in certainly in my conversations I've had with a couple of people, they didn't do that part of the calculation. So they did the bit that said, oh, I can, I can reach another 30 to 40,000 or whatever it is based on the stamp duty. But they didn't do the rest of the calculation to figure out what the net benefit is. And I will remind people just again that the future rate of land tax is not guaranteed, right? It is absolutely feasible that the New South Wales government later decides to lift the land tax rate. So you can't really do a calculation based on, the current level over the 30 years, because almost certainly they're going to put it up.
Oh, look, for sure. For sure they will. But my other theory is, call it a conspiracy, but my other theory is this is really, which we spoke about before, and this is, for me, this is really a way to push them into strata living as well. Because obviously there's a lot less land tax in strata living than there is in freestanding homes. And this is where they need, the government needs, the government, or federal, state and local government need the strata lifestyle to stay alive and be very, very prosperous, because that's where they get most of their grift from. That's where they get most of the taxes from, the money from.
Yeah. Well, that cues quite nicely the next conversation point, right? Because, in the Fin Review, it said rising borrowing costs choke up apartment pipeline, and they're highlighting the point that the development pipeline is getting squeezed a bit. Despite the fact that, of course, that there are more migrants coming into the country, et cetera, et cetera. So, oh dear, Mr. Construction Man is now worrying about what's going on. And guess what? Those changes to the land tax, well, that might just give them a bit of a leg up, mightn't it?
Yeah, but look, behind this, Martin, look at we're gonna hear a lot more of these stories, because it's deja vu. Deja vu 2015, 2016, or a bit earlier, 2014, and that is, we need to increase the height. So what this is really setting up the landscape for, or setting up the foundation for, is for developers to go in and ask for higher height to lessen the height restrictions. So you get more apartments on the block. So the floor space ratios will increase. They'll be able to build higher, and they'll be able to dig deeper. And you know what happens? What happens when we begin to dig a lot deeper and we start going a lot higher? We end up with your Mascot Towers. We end up with your Apple Towers. We end up with all different towers all over Sydney and shoddy construction and shoddy. And a lot of developers taking shortcuts. So for me, this is just a prelude to what's going to happen, and I'd be interested to see over the different LGAs how areas are rezoned in regards to height restrictions and FSRs and the like.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to get more flooded basements and swimming pools in the basement instead of car parks if we're not careful.
Feature,
exactly right. A bit of a water feature. But yeah, you're right. They'll just put add another five stories and, the commercials look even better. It's pretty shameful. And, of course, the point is that, the research shows that a lot of people prefer not to live in high-rise, but when they've got no choice because that's all they can afford, well, then they do the obvious thing and buy high-rise, but it doesn't necessarily make it right.
No, it doesn't. And then we end up with your million-dollar ghettos, which I spoke about since year dot, where you highlighted a lot of the issues even before we got the Mascot Tower issues. So you got your million-dollar ghettos and multi-million-dollar ghettos all over Sydney. And we're going to see corridors being going up around the main railway line. But no other real infrastructure being put in place other than just construction of these monstrosities of these shoeboxes. Because as you say, once they start changing the values of the land tax and once they start tinkering with that, well, for me, it's the obvious choice. People are going to start opting for the strata lifestyle because there's obviously, as I said, less land attributed to your dwelling because it's shared over the owner's corporation.
Absolutely. No, exactly right. Well, let's talk about numbers, right? Because things are still happening on numbers land, aren't they?
Well, they are. The numbers in terms of Sydney and Brisbane, the numbers are consistent. They haven't pulled back. Obviously, these are the Monday numbers compared this week today. In around the same time, I take these screenshots in last week. So there's not a great deal of change. In terms of activity for sale by underquoting, as I call it, sale by auction. There's still a bit of confidence, and I think that's sort of the word on the street on that with the selling agencies that they're a little bit more pumped up with regards to a lot more properties being sold under the hammer at a time in the year where things once again would have been slowing down. So the interesting thing would be over the next couple of weeks, how many more listings come on, or if this trend continues, because we're just plateauing at the moment, that's going to be interesting for Sydney, that is, as well as Brisbane. Brisbane has had a bit more of an increase in numbers, but the interesting part for me, Martin, is Melbourne. Melbourne, it is screaming. The activity there in terms of listing numbers on market is just I think it's on nitrous. They've gone from turbocharged to pumping the nitrous in there because it's there's no real sales, not a lot of activity in terms of sales on the other end. So there's a lot more property lingering on market in the Melbourne region than Sydney. And as I said on Twitter, look, maybe it's Dan the man needs to take on Don Perrottet's policies and implement it there as well.
Yeah, change the land tax. So 25.831 on the 14th, and if you compare that with the 7th, 25.283. Yeah, interesting.
That is substantial. And this is just the beginning of the week as well. So I'm thinking we could get closer to your 26,500 listings on market in Melbourne. Since we've been tracking the Melbourne numbers, Melbourne's just as I said, we've gone from being being on turbo to supercharged to nitrous oxide in my view, and it would be interesting. Like, I don't really follow the Melbourne market to really know what's going on there, but the other interesting point to this is that there's a lot of homes being sold in Melbourne, and they're really outstripping the apartments. I would have thought it would have been the other way around, but you look closely at at the break between houses and apartments, and houses are almost double the number of apartments.
Well, one of the things that I see in the Melbourne market is the very low net investment return on properties. It's consistently lower than pretty much everywhere else in the country. And in fact, it's continuing to go the wrong way. So whilst people can put some rents up in some areas and quite big increases, a lot of people can't make any real returns on property investments, particularly in houses, actually. And that's one of the reasons why we're seeing significant listings. So property investors are starting to bail, particularly in and around the Greater Melbourne area.
Well, then again, Martin, we had a huge migration with the draconian lockdowns that we had in Melbourne. Mm. So is that and now are we seeing the aftermath of that? And as you said, because I guess the renters have got a greater choice. I haven't looked at the rental numbers for Melbourne to do a comparison.
Still pretty tight, but the fact is that property investors are saying, why do I bother? I can't see any capital appreciation now, right? No. My net investment return, so cash flow in, cash flow out, is negative and going more negative, despite what I can do to try and put the rentals up. So it gets to the point where, well, maybe I should bail before prices fall too much further. That's the logic.
Yeah. Well, and especially with, as they see the numbers that are coming on market, increasing, and I'm sure the conversations that the agents are having, making the vendors well aware of this phenomenon and preparing them to accept the lower prices on the day as well.
Now, that's true. Well, let's look at Brisbane briefly, because you've also got some numbers there. And again, it's quite interesting. So Brisbane on the 14th was 5865. And if you compare that with the previous week, 5780. So, interesting.
Yeah, there has been a bit of an increase. So from what you spoke about this about three weeks ago, you mentioned that with your surveys you started seeing a lot more enthusiasm with the properties coming on market.
Yep.
And although I wasn't seeing any numbers, but now it's starting to appear. It's somewhat small because it's a smaller sample in the Brisbane region than Sydney. But it is significant nevertheless, because you're starting to see the increase in numbers. But I think the transactions there are still somewhat healthy. But then again, you compare it with the prices, and people are still doing, making that move. Although if you're worth a few million, there was a story floating around that somebody got bored in Noosa and they put the property up for sale, and they're heading back to Melbourne. Why the hell would you? I don't know, but they just got bored.
Somebody's got to. Yeah, well, that sunshine can get a bit trying, it can be a bit hot in the summer in Noosa. Yeah. All right, well, let's now go on to wackier than the conspiracy theory. And boy, this is a goodie.
Oh yeah, look, it's Blacktown. We're back to Blacktown. Everything comes back to Blacktown. Yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving. We've got again one of these, similar to the one that I put up a wager that I would run down Blacktown Road, in a mankini and so forth. So this is another interesting one. A similar scenario. When you look at the guide. On this one, when they go to the Twitter feed and they look at the photo, I mean, the guide is 720. This property was bought at the end of 2019 for 696 or something, or thereabouts. I don't have the screenshot in front of me, but it's interesting, Martin, to see how the underquoting, or let's call it dubious activity, because I've got to be careful with what I say.
Mysterious marketing.
Mysterious marketing strategies. conspiratorial marketing strategies.
You said that, I didn't.
they're telling us, the agency is telling us that this person that just bought the property for just under $700,000 is really only expecting 720 when they've spent close to $100,000 renovating it. And you know, it's a gift. As I say, it's Blacktown is the gift that keeps on giving. they want a gift. They want to gift the first time buyer this property. You know what, Martin? You know, I'll wager, and I'll put up on Twitter as well. Yeah, it looks like it's time for another wager. Yeah, but I won't necessarily wager that I'll be running down Blacktown Road in a mankini. I might get sunburned. I've got to put something else up, because if this property gets sold for less than $800,000, tell me what you want me to put up, and I'll put it up, because it's not going to go for less than $800,000 when you do the math.
I was going to say, why don't we get the audience to make some suggestions about things you could do if it actually sells under $800,000? There you go. The more interesting suggestions, the better, right? You can pick one then. but it is interesting, and it's not the first time that I've seen, you know, property bought at X, right? Money spent Y, X plus Y is a very big number, yet when they go to sell, they don't get anything like that big number. And it just shows you the risk of overcapitalizing from an investment and renovation perspective. When you've bought a property, you can spend too much on it, can't you?
Yeah, you can. But in this case, there is no way in hell that this flipper wants to sell this property for less than $800,000 when you make, because that is just that is your break-even position. And given the fact that, you know, the four-bedroom home in Blacktown, in a block of land in the location. They're fetching your 900s. They're fetching closer to your 900s, 950, depending what type of property it is. I mean, some have gone as far as 1,050,000 over the last couple of weeks at auctions that we've been present at, and with the New South Wales gift, recent gift. This is only going to, put this property closer to your 850, 900. You know, in any language, once you understand the cost of the land, the cost of to replace the dwelling, albeit it's an old fiber home that's been renovated, there's still an intrinsic value to that, and there's still a cost of land. So what they're saying here is that basically, he's prepared to the flipper is prepared to accept in current value, just a little bit above the cost of the land, and you get the house for free. It's not. It's insane. It's a conspiracy. Underquoting is a conspiracy theory, Martin. And until people tell me otherwise, I'm just going to stick to my story.
Okay. Well, we should watch with interest. And when the up for, is it auction? This one going to auction, or is it
going? Yeah, it's going to auction. It's
yeah,
going
okay. to auction. All right. So we'll know then, won't we?
Yeah, we will, and we'll see how many. I might make it a point, and I might be present. I just take some video.
Well, it's always welcome your video. Always brings some real spirit into the feeling of what's going on. You know, a fixed, a static shot never shows it, but your videos certainly do. All people milling around and all the excitement and everything. You know. All the dogs, yeah, nice.
Yeah, well, from the last one, I'll bring an update. I did reach out to the agent. Mm-hmm. I haven't forgotten. The agent is under a gag order not to disclose why the purchaser bought that dwelling for. So it's still a mystery. But we will know once it settles. I'll keep an eye on it for our followers and our viewers.
They'll be holding their breath. So don't forget, Edwin. You know, you got to meet your commitments at some point in the future.
Listen, I want to do it for my own curiosity.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
I want to know why he bought a. If we're not in World War III, that is.
Yeah, let's not go there. All right, so tip of the week.
Yeah, the tip of the week is just don't lose focus. Don't lose focus of where you want to be, and where you personally want to be in terms of your property strategy. Again, whether it be to for a rental, whether it be for a property purchase predominantly, if you are in the market, you're wanting to buy for whatever reason, just don't lose focus. Don't let all the noise, because it's what it is, psychological noise and emotion. It's all noise around you just to distract you from being focused. The numbers are still strong in terms of numbers for sale. We haven't started retreating. We haven't seen a pattern of listings that are on market exiting. Agents, from our conversations with agents are out there working hard, trying to get new listings, trying to bring new listings on. And it's they're trying to convince their clients, potential clients, to bring the properties on market. So it's a good thing for those that are wanting to get into the market, because of what that'll add, just volumes, and the volumes will be consistent throughout summer. And this is what we said before, Martin, that it was going to be a late spring and the numbers were going to be strong going into summer. Obviously, well and truly towards the end of the year is when things will taper off and properties will come off market, because nobody really wants to have, not a lot of people want to have inspections through the final weekend, the final weekend week in the first week of January, over that fortnight period. I mean, it's a, things for
the dead zone, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And the simple fact that people also, as you and I said before, the solicitors and conveyancers, the majority of them are on holidays as well, and it's very hard. But look, I found that at those times is where you can also get some deals. So, each time, just don't lose focus. There'll be a bit more noise, and I feel over the next, particularly in the first quarter of 2023, don't be surprised if something new comes up to try and stake the market and try to, again, continue to cushion if we see a whole tranche of new listings come on market and those numbers start rising like we are seeing in Melbourne. You just can't put it past the governments of all persuasions here, because just stay focused.
Absolutely. Good advice as always, Edwin, and thank you once again for another very interesting conversation. And there's some really, really important points here about people should stick to their knitting and not get carried away, and understand what's going on. And as we've said before, and just said again, if you have a price in mind and that is really the price, stick to it, right? Don't on the day get persuaded just to go higher and higher. Don't get psychologically trapped, because unfortunately quite often people who do that end up being very disappointed later.
That's it. And I'll leave it with this. The danger is, as you and I have been very, very clear on, the danger is the valuation. If you bought a property with a 66W and you got too emotional, you've lost your focus, you got caught in that slipstream of emotion that flies around on the day, and you've overpaid and the property doesn't value, you will lose your 10% or have to come up with the extra money on the day when the valuation comes low, because the valuer says, no, it's not worth what you pay for it.
Absolutely. Very, very important message there. Edwin, thanks very much once again, and we'll do it all again next week.
Definitely will. And we'll keep those chickens safe.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.